Hello and welcome to the Prospect Blueprint. I'm Kelly Kleinman, and my battery mate, of course, is Mr. Rick Dempsey, 24-year MLB vet and fan favorite with the Twins, Yankees, Brewers, Dodgers, and Orioles. And, of course, he's also the 1983 World Series MVP for the Baltimore Orioles against our guest's favorite team growing up. But we're not going to get into our intro quite yet. Rick, you were a little bit busy today. Caught a little traffic on the way back.
Well, I did. I was up at the Sandpiper Golf Course at a tournament up there today with some friends of mine. Supposed to have been back by 4:30, but holy smoke, I'll tell you, I got stuck in a one-lane traffic going through Santa Barbara. That is no fun whatsoever. And I was in a panic wondering, when is this ever going to break up? It was a beautiful scenery, though, going along the California coastline. That was the only good part about the whole day.
Well, today's a little dour. We should probably say rest in peace to Vin Scully, 67 years behind one of these mics. Yeah.
Man, there was nobody better than Vinny.
Yeah.
He just changed the face of baseball with his voice alone. And so many people just love that guy. I grew up with him. 8 years old, I was listening to him on the radio. And he just inspires you just by listening how much he makes baseball fun and how great he made it sound. That's what made me want to be a Major League Baseball player at 8 years old. And I was devoted at that point to making it all happen. So God bless him. They got a hell of an announcer up.
Well, let's talk about our guest today, because you're going to like these numbers, Rick. In his time as a coach, Jerry Oaks teams have reached four NCAA regionals, including the number four national seed in 2010 as Coastal Carolina won an astounding 56 games and advanced to the Super Regionals, put them on the map. He's coached 60 MLB draftees, 20 of whom were taken in the top 10 rounds. 8 actually made the bigs, as well as 9 All-Americans, 55 All-Conference honorees, and 3 Conference Players of the Year. He hopes his pitchers eat more innings than he does miles on the road. He is, after all, a college baseball recruiter, and eating miles is part of the game. Jerry Oaks, Elon Phoenix pitching coach and recruiting coordinator, welcome.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
I need oxygen after that introduction. Your numbers, bud.
I can't wait to talk to him because, man, there's a lot going on in Major League Baseball today that I want to hear about from you, Jerry. And it's just amazing what's going on. Not all of it very good.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy what's going on. That's for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the reasons I was going to say, one of the reasons why I couldn't really be a very good coach at this point in my life is because recruiting has got to be one of the toughest things that a coach has to do day in and day out for like the entire time that you're coaching. So, I mean, you know, how's it been for you so far this year? I mean, I know you got a good handle on it. You know who all the good prospects are, but isn't it tough to recruit a lot of these guys to get them to come to a lawn?
Yeah, it's definitely tough, you know. It's the bloodline of the program. So, you know, I've been doing it for so long now, and you have your niches in certain areas and coaches that you trust that you really rely on. Especially for us, most of our kids are Northeast kids, so I'm very lucky when it comes to that because that's where all my pretty tight connections are, you know, being from Philly and then, you know, my time at Pittsburgh. So, you know, I've been very fortunate to be here at Elon and have, you know, like I said, where most of our prospects are from that area, but it's never easy, right, Rick? I mean, it's, you gotta adapt year by year. That's for sure. And I will say it's definitely got tougher. It's kind of been the trend this summer where, you know, obviously we all talk, us coaches, and it's definitely getting more difficult. I will say that for sure. You know, with the transfer portal and, you know, everything that's going on in our game. Yeah. So, but just like anything, we adapt, you know, and you make changes on the fly and you make it work.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question regarding prioritization. What's the criteria that you use to determine where you're going to go to recruit talent? Is it PG, travel ball tourneys, college summer leagues for Portal and JUCO?
I mean, it just varies on your needs, right? You know, this year, for instance, you know, we went a lot in the portal. We had to go position player wise heavy in the portal, so we brought in a good amount from there. So we didn't do too much JUCO. We have what, 3 JUCO guys coming in. So I think it varies each year, Kelly, you know, what your needs are. But we do a little of everything, right? Like I said, we do portal, we do JUCO, obviously heavy with high school guys. I'm a big fan with the high school guys, just on the development side. But at the same time, you know, this portal has helped, I think, programs like ours, because you got to be older, right, if you're really going to win. So that's helped us a lot to get some kickback from your ACC and SEC programs and stuff like that. So looking forward to those guys being on campus here in the next couple of weeks. But it just goes, it goes back that I'm very big in the trust factor. You know, I think you always go back to where you've had success, and leading on those travel coaches or JUCO coaches that, you know, they know the caliber player that you're looking for, when it comes to the makeup and the athleticism and, you know, what you look for as a coach. And they're the guys that I really just kind of just, like I said, stick to those relationships and always go back to those roots that I've had success with.
Yeah. Makes sense.
How do you talk to these players that you know are top prospects and everything, and convince them, you know, to come to Elon? You know, they've got these other programs, the Power Program, but Elon is.
But Elon is expensive. That's actually the question.
Yeah, that it is. We have so much to offer, to be honest. I don't know if you ever had the opportunity to be down there. It's one of the most beautiful campuses in the country, you know. So you're trying to find the right kid for your program. So, you know, obviously everyone always wants to wear that sweatshirt in high school, and they think that the Power Five might be the best bet for them at the time. But you're trying to find the right guy that they know is the right fit for, number one, us, but also for them as an individual. You know, you're talking about a place that it's a top 100 academic university, you know, so you're getting a phenomenal education, which is the most important thing. And when you look at, you know, you can do the research, the program's had so much success. You know, Coach Kennedy's done an unbelievable job, and he's been here for, I think 26 years now. And, you know, you look how many regionals and how many draft picks. We have so much to offer to an individual. You know, number one, you're in the South, right? And most Northern kids want to go where it's warm weather. So right there, we're winning. And when we get kids on campus, there's a wow factor. So we have so much going for us. It's just finding the right kid, you know, that wants to be a part of obviously something special. And we have a lot to offer, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's a beautiful ballpark.
It is, and that's one thing that we got. It's an exciting time for our program, and we needed it, you know, for our player development purposes. But we just built an indoor facility, and then we have phase two with a new locker room. We got a new field last summer, so there's a lot of excitement around our place right now. You know, we just had a first rounder of 2019, George Kirby, who's having a lot of success with the Seattle Mariners. So it's got a lot of good things going on right now.
Harry, one of the things that has really jumped up as of the last couple of years is these showcases. You know, what is your take on the showcases? Are you really getting that much out of it right now?
Yeah, I think, Rick, you get something out of everything, you know, right? When you're a showcase, you're looking at, you know, their actions, or, you know, how their arm works and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I think everything is beneficial, right? But I'm very big of watching a guy in a game. I think it's just like watching BP, right? Anybody can hit a home run. The old 5 o'clock hitter, right? Or,
yes.
Or bullpens. I mean, it's to me, that's easy. I mean, I'm a pitching coach, and you can throw a great bullpen, but at the end of the day, I want to see someone when the bright lights go on, and you know, I want to see guys foul and how they respond to that. And more importantly, you know, how are they as a teammate? Is it just about them, or Are they competing to win? I think that's what stands out the most. And when you do it long enough, it just like you, right? You played for so long, you can tell those things pretty quickly.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, you can.
So,
yeah. Now, a lot of smaller D1 teams are relatively strapped for funds. Not all, probably not Elon. And they tend to recruit regionally. I think you do a little bit as well. But that leaves a lot of potential talent out there that you don't have any, or you have limited or little access to. But some of that might be a game-changing kind of talent. So the question is, how do you try to procure that talent? What network do you have? How do you go outside of your region to recruit? By the way, I will throw this out there. You do open up your email. There are a lot of recruiting coaches who won't bother doing it. I happen to know that you do.
Yeah, to some extent. That I do. And obviously, that's a huge part of what we do, you know. Yeah. Obviously we get a lot of emails for sure.
Yeah.
But I try to at least take 2 or 3 days a week to really break that stuff down. I mean, obviously sometimes it's tough. But you know, those emails that you get with a little short video and, you know, only a paragraph instead of 2 pages, you can break down stuff pretty quickly, you know? But you know, we're very fortunate, you know, our budget is not the greatest, but it's, we got everything we need to make it work on the recruiting needs, you know, so we're very fortunate. When you have a head coach that's been here for so long and his networking and Coach Hustler, he's going on his 20th year here now as an assistant. So you get my point here is we know our needs of what we're looking for and obviously know in certain areas where we can find those needs pretty quickly, you know, so coming from the ACC, it's definitely a lot different. And in a lot of ways, there's a positive to that. You know, we don't over-recruit, so our needs are very small. So that part's really nice when instead of going and try to get 10 guys where you're only maybe trying to get 4, you know. So you can narrow it down pretty quickly. And there's no really rush, I think, now more than ever, where I think we can benefit this portal, which I think it's crazy at the same time. But you know, we can get those kickbacks that guys that want, you know, that were in the ACC or SEC that want that playing time that they're not getting at those levels.
Yeah. It's pure free agency on the college level. Well, let's discuss the paradigm shift that's taken place in college sports, the transfer portal and the NIL. How does that affect your program as kids tend to chase dollars outside of just scholarships and are willing to bail if they don't get playing time at the outset? It's sort of a travel ball mentality, jumping team to team. You sort of mentioned to it or alluded to it earlier, but are you more inclined to scan JUCOs for more experienced players who can step right in and run less of a portal risk?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I just had a conversation with Coach Huff recently. You know, for us, I think it benefits us tremendously. We have to be older, you know. Obviously, we're always going to have our high school guys for sure. And I love those guys because you can develop them from day one. Unfortunately, though, Kelly, right, we're in a tough spot where we're at because, give you an example, we had a young man last year as a freshman who had, you know, All-American honors. Those guys at our levels now, you worry about them a little bit, right? Because now you have all the big dogs that are going to try to go after those guys. And I think it starts in the recruiting process of building those relationships and the trust. Unfortunately, nowadays, you're losing that, you know? And I think that's where it's tough, especially for me, where I'm very big on those relationships and loyalty, right? And now you just have guys always trying to find what's greener on the other side, you know, and unfortunately we all know it's not always greener on the other side, you know? So the dynamic of it is crazy. You know, you mean, you see it even in at the higher levels where guys are having success, but now you got the NOI stuff that, okay, well, who's going to give me more money? Right. So I think we're all trying to figure this thing out on the fly, to be honest, and none of us have it figured out. There's just so many moving parts to it, you know?
Well, you know, also that was something that adds a little bit of difficulty to the overall figuring out of this equation are the college advisors who take a look at a kid who has invested in them to get them the deal. And now the kid's riding, you know, he's riding pine and it's, you got to deal with that as well. But the NIL money might actually help keep people in. So I know, and this, I brought this up before, we talked to a lot of coaches, so I know what a lot of strategies are, just, you know, on the inside here of how they're approaching it, but a lot of it's a wait and see. You know, but I would think that would help draw some of that talent to some of the smaller schools. You know, big fish, little pond, plenty of money. Yep. And it's sad that it's gotten to that point, because it does put so much of the onus on the small schools to really, you know, pull a rabbit out of their hat to get good talent and develop it. It's, I think it goes to the JUCO. I think eventually JUCO is going to be the minor leagues, you know, for teams that need to win when contracts are coming up for extensions, you know, a year, 2 year down the line. I think that's where it's going.
For sure.
You know, I could see someone recruiting somebody because they've got 500,000 followers on TikTok, because the NIL guys love the exposure. You know, who knows?
Right.
Anyway, you're up.
We would have thought we'd have those conversations, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Jerry, kind of a two-part question. You know, you've had so much success with your pitching. You would think that it's kind of got to divert the focus of what you guys are trying to recruit for now. You know, you know you've got some pitchers set, you know, and I want to hear about that, what's going on and who's coming back and that sort of thing. But does it change the attitude of the ball club, making them look now for better hitters or better defensive players?
I don't think so. You know, you're always going to rely on pitching and defense for me, right? That's where you're going to win. So, you know, you take this past year, we pitched really well, and, you know, our offense and defense, you know, we struggle a little bit. And obviously, right, going back to, you know, the recruiting talk, is that's where we filled our needs, you know. And this year, I think we're going to be a little thin on the mound, you know. So I think it changes year by year, Rick. You know, it just, yeah, you're going off of your needs, if that makes sense, you know.
Well, go ahead. Finish up.
No, I just think more than ever, because now, where before you kind of had stuff in place for a couple of years, you don't have it in place. You know what I mean? Is that makes sense? You know, because you got guys moving left and right more than ever now. So this thing is just really on the fly, you know, year by year for sure.
I can imagine just a lot of pitching prospects want to come and see you because you've been so successful. That's obvious. When you watch major league games today and you see what's going on up there, I just don't see the mechanics anymore that I used to see when I had tremendous staffs, two and three guys that were capable of winning 20 ball games at the major league level, guys that had great mechanics. I don't see that in the game. I know you have to look at all the numbers and their spin ratio and all that kind of stuff and everything. To me, it doesn't mean a lot with me, because it doesn't translate into winning players on the mound. And I just kind of wondered what your take is on it, because this is what you've done. This is what you've been successful at. The mechanics. Tell me what you see that's different now.
It was funny. We could talk for a while about that.
Yes, we can.
I'm not going to lie. I'm old school when it comes to that, Rick. You know, it's funny you say that. It personally drives me crazy. You know, this whole analytical stuff, right? Just like anything, there's no doubt there's positives to it. We've been very fortunate. I mean, we have Rap Soto at E-line, but we don't have all the gimmicks, if you want to say, with the analytical stuff. And honestly, I love it, because we have guys that they compete, and we're all about that, you know, and they have to understand how their body works. To where, if you look at our guys, they're pretty polished. And I'm not going to lie, if we had all that analytical stuff, I don't think it would be the case. And I think it's very unfortunate. I mean, we've been fortunate this year. We had unbelievable numbers, and so many people ask me, well, how do you do it? And I just think it's funny, because they have all the bells and whistles that we don't. Instead of just having that, you know, those tight relationships with our players, that it's just more talking one-on-one instead of looking at everything analytical wise. And it's funny how it works. We've had success, and I've been very fortunate in this game to have success. And listen, I was a guy that threw really hard when I played in the minor leagues. And guess what? I was 97, 99, my later, you know, couple years playing, but I didn't throw strikes, you know? So I think that actually helped me to understand these kids, to just the basics of the game, and then everything else will kind of take care of itself. Instead of worrying about what your spin rate is and this and that. And me personally, it just drives me nuts. You know, it's unbelievable. They're more worried about that stuff instead of getting guys out and competing and understand guys' swings. And that's, to me, that's going to make you more successful than the other stuff.
You know, I tell all the catchers, I said the most important part of a pitcher's delivery is his release point. When he's got a good release point, it doesn't matter where it comes from. In fact, I encourage pitchers, you know, to drop down sidearm once in a while, because you can really mess up a hitter's rhythm and timing by doing that. And it might only happen once or twice a ball game. But like I say, if this player has been taught the good mechanics of baseball, he ought to be able to adjust his release point on occasion. I like that guy who can stay squared up to home plate. When he finishes delivering the ball, he's all of a sudden become a defensive player. You know what I mean about that rhythm and timing and that balance that it takes to make good pitchers. To me, you've got to take 90% of the guys that are on the mound at the major league level, and you've got to revamp them, because that thing, when the head goes to the left and the arms way out to the right, I mean, not only are you telegraphing, but you're losing a couple miles per hour. Do you feel the same way that I do about that?
100%. You know, it's funny. We did some stuff this past fall. Not a big gimmick guy, but we used something that I don't want to give some of my secrets out. But it was it was instant feedback for them to understand straight body control. You know, and that's half of the battle. You know, and it was amazing the amount of below jumps we had, but more importantly, for them to be able to repeat their delivery, which they repeat their release point, which we had, like I said, I think we're second in the country, the least amount of walks. And that's what this thing's all about, you know? So it's funny. I got a buddy of mine who's a GM in the big leagues, and it drives him nuts. He's like, Jerry, it's crazy. You know, I got to go back and talk to our analytical guys, and I never thought it would come to this, you know? But it's funny, you know, you know more than anybody. You look back, and this game's been around for so long, and the amount of big leaguers, and it wasn't because of analytical numbers, you know. Yeah. And here we are. That's all we're talking about this day and age. You know, it's crazy. But just like anything, I guess we got to adapt. But I think it hurts guys more than it helps. I truly believe that.
I believe it too. And you're right on track. I hope you stay there. And later on, I'm going to find out who that GM is that believes in you, because I wish that all the pitching coaches felt the same way that you do, but none of them have your experience.
Well, I appreciate it.
I think the problem with that, though, and I've been told that although most pitching coaches over a certain age don't buy into it, those that do work, those that don't, are soon unemployed. So you've got to buy in and pretend to buy in. What years are you recruiting for? So you're pretty much done with 22. Are you moving on to 23 now?
Yeah, we're done with pretty much 23. Like I said earlier, you know, that'll probably change at the end of the year. So I say our 23 class is done right now, but we'll add some guys, I'm sure, you know, after the season. So we're on 24s right now. You know, we just had our first 24 commit the other day, and you know, we obviously have a bunch of offers out, but yeah, 24s is a pretty big class for us.
Cool. Well, Coach Jerry Oakes, pitching guru, recruiting coordinator for Elon University, the Phoenix, may you rise again this year. Thank you for joining us. Good luck in the recruiting battles, and we'll definitely be watching you. Rick, any parting words?
Well, no, I just want to pick his brain a little bit about what's going on, because I have not heard from any pitching coaches at the college level. And you know, it doesn't mean they're bad people if they believe in the analytical part of it. But I tell you, as far as for baseball goes, it's basically destroying the game as far as I'm concerned. I could go back out there and I could write a book on just about every pitcher that comes in. in his delivery. And I never pitched either, but I've listened and caught enough 14 Cy Young Award winners, and I've listened to these guys talk, and I've seen mechanics that they bring and into the game. And it's so much better than what these guys are. I'd like to be able to just go out to them right now and say, listen, we need a little adjustment here and there. You know, let's get on balance. Let's finish up without falling off to the left or the right and see how much it improves the way the ball comes off your fingertips. And I'm anxious to say those kind of things, but I'm keeping my distance away from these analyticals because they're driving me nuts. And I know that I wouldn't make myself look very good if I start criticizing what they're doing.
Well, Jerry, thanks again for joining us. Time for us to roll. But like I said, we'll be keeping an eye on you. We wish you the best of luck. You've got a hell of a future ahead of you. You certainly know how to handle an arm. From all of us at the Prospect Blueprints, as usual, keep your chin and your eyes on the ball. We'll be with you soon. Have a good night.